Blog Talk Radio.
Six Man
Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? It has come to my attention.
PD Radio.
What's up? It's your girl, Go Getter. The boss from Chi-Town Inn.
God Power C on top of Mount Everest.
PD Radio.
You're now tuning to PD in Black on PD Radio.
I love y'all energy, PD Radio. Lock the lips. Quality radio entertainment is rare. And if you get a hold of it, you know, hold on to it, you know?
This your boy, Mr. Shy. You're now listening to PD Radio.
The hottest show streaming live. You're not tuned in, get lost.
Lock the lips.
The best in R&B and hip-hop and talk radio out there.
My name is R-Rail. It's the bundle of itself. Keep it locked. PD Radio.
Listening to my man K Black and Miss PD on PD Radio. There's no show hotter anywhere.
Thank you. you thought I'd make you love
PD Radio.
PD Radio. Hello, hello, XOXO.
PD, you still there? What's going on, people? Let me know if you can still hear me. I don't know if Miss PD is still there. Might have some issues. I know she paid the phone bill now. Let me just see what's going on. But I think Miss PD was in the middle of saying XOXO. You know, all love here on PD Radio. And we're going to keep it rolling until Miss PD can come back on the line. Let me see if I can work that out for her. So, Miss PD, you there? Nope. So, this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep it rolling. This is your man Black, your co-host, stepping in right now. I think I heard something. I'm stepping in right now for PD. And we're going to keep it rolling. So, I think we got somebody in the queue real quick. We're going to bring them in and see what's up. We're going to skip all the introductions tonight until PD comes back. You know, that's her thing. Let's see what's up.
PD Radio.
PD Radio, what's your name? Where you calling from?
What's good? It's Freedom Rider from D.C.
What's going on, Freedom Rider? How you feeling tonight?
I'm chilling, brother. I'm blessed. How are you?
Good, man. I'm feeling good. We having some difficulties with Miss PD, but we're not gonna stop you from putting them flames up.
Yeah, so. I seen that he's doing a Prince's Powell back, and I was actually watched him on Arsenio Hall, and he did a poem about his son. So this poem I want to say, I felt like, oh, hey there, hello.
Oh, is that Miss PD?
Somebody.
Hi, can you hear me now?
There you go.
You're definitely in the background right now.
Really? I had to change mics. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry, guys. Hey.
Okay.
I'm here, though.
Hey. Well, we're going to let you do your intro after my man drops some heat on us. So.
All right, so this right here is called Idol.
Let's do it.
Before you come crying to me, talking about life's not trying to fight fair, I'll use these words to teach you how to rope-a-dope. If you ever disrespect your mother, I'll wash your mouth out with soap. Let me be the first to welcome you to this cold, cruel world, where most men downfall are usually over a girl. But I won't let you fall victim. I promise to protect you as best as I can. I want you to idol me, but become a better man. I want you to live like a star. But understand the reality. Mistakes can be fixed by retakes. There's no guy in the background yelling out cut. Life's gonna knock you down, baby boy, but you have to keep getting up. Stay strong even during the times you feel weak. Understand you have potential that doesn't have a peak. I want you to enjoy being a child as long as you can. I want you to idol me, but become a better man. I love you like John Quincy loved this son. During my darkest days, I would think of you, and you will become my son. Understand you come from royalty like Simba. Don't let people play you for a little cat like Kimba. I'll have your back even when I'm restrained to a walker. If you have hoop dreams, just promise me they don't end up like Antoine Walker's. You don't need the luck of the Irish when you have faith in the God. Understand there's nothing more important than your family and God. I want you to dream big like obstacles don't exist. Actually chasing after it is the only difference between a dream and a wish. You are the author to your own story, so other people's opinions shouldn't matter. Your success will leave them pissed like a bad bladder. When people tell you you can't, just understand that you can. I want you to idol me, but become a better man. Before I leave this earth, it's my job to make sure that you became a man. It's not just important to me. It's important to every branch on this family tree. We don't back down. And it's my job to teach you that since my grandfather is no longer around. He was a man with great pride. He taught me how to never let a hater slow down your stride. Walk with your chest up and your head towards the sky. Look every person in the eyes because that's where the lies lie. Baby boy, get ready to fight the fight of your life. I want you to understand that you only get one shot at life. That's why it's important for you to be all that you can. I want you to idol me, but become a better man. That was called idol right there.
Wow, that's amazing. I enjoyed
indeed.
That. Oh, freedom rider. Oh, yeah.
Because it has so much relevance to it, and you know, it's needed. You know what I mean? It's definitely needed because one thing that's not happening is, you know, these some of the young cats not being taught properly, you know, how to be a man. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm expecting my first child. He's supposed to be here yesterday, Sunday, April 6th, but he on CP time right now, so any day.
Okay. You put
even more
beautiful. Congratulations.
I love it.
Yeah.
Nikki, you're going to have a time capsule for him. You're going to have some stuff waiting
like
for him.
And the PD radio shouted you out.
Yeah. Oh, man. Do you know what you're having?
It's a little boy.
He's smiling, too.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I know you
yes,
can hear
sir.
It, right? You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah, I can hear it.
I hear it.
Hey, like you said, man, you know, stay true to yourself.
I'm so glad
Yeah.
But thank
I'm glad
you for letting
you
me get
in. And
in the back. Thank you.
Tonight was not open mic poetry night, but I know you've been wanting to get on. So when I saw your tweet, I'm like, no, I'm not turning my man down. Call on up.
That's right.
And you did
I'm
it. You kicked
in.
Off the show lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, we got to have you back on.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and tell the people where they can connect with you at.
Twitter is FreedomWriterDC. And Instagram, poet_freedomwriter. Get at me. I just released my CD, Much More Than Spoken Words, the Spoken Words CD.
Okay. All
right.
Well, I definitely need to check that out. I definitely need to check that out. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep
much respect
things.
To you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank
oh, most
you.
Definitely.
Thank you. Blessings on your lovely new child on the way. Tell him to hurry up.
Yeah, I'm gonna put the pictures all that up, shout them out. Get him in the game.
I know that's right. Well, thank you so much, Poet, and we
thanks.
Look forward to hearing you on the show some more, okay? Have a good night.
Yes.
You too. I'm tuned in.
All right.
All right. Love it.
Peace.
That was great.
And
nice phone call
PD
Radio. Poet Freedom Writer DC. I loved it. I loved it a lot. I want to apologize to you guys for my equipment failing. It happens. But why happen tonight? Why tonight? You know why I'm saying that, Black, right? Why tonight? Because of what we have to do later on. So that's why I'm saying, why tonight? But anyway, this CD here. You know, I'm sorry for the intro. You guys know me. I'm your poetic, creative, and drama-free host. And my partner in crime, the mastermind, he stepped up and did his thing tonight. Black, thank you.
Of course,
I'm cooking.
I got to keep
cooking.
It smooth. I wasn't just going to let it just fall to the.
See, that's why you're the perfect co-host because,
hey.
You know, when a host fails, the co-host, oh, you did that. So, you know, you on your job, Mr. Producer. I love it.
That's right.
I love it.
That's what I do.
Right. But you
right.
do, and you do oh so well. We kicked off
thanks.
The show with the Menage a Trois of Spins. We kicked it off with Heartbeat by Seduction, followed up by This Place Hotel by Michael Jackson, and closing it off with You're Gonna Make Me Love Somebody Else by the Jones Girls. Oh, yeah, classic. Going to get you reminiscing about back in the day.
Exactly.
I don't remember where y'all were and what you were doing when those joints came out. I don't. Memory is shot. I don't remember anything.
You said shot. That's not good.
My memory is shot. I remember what I want to remember and what's extremely important to me. If it's not, forget about it. I got to write it down to remember.
Wow.
That's terrible.
Setting in early.
Anyway,
that's not good.
We're going to keep it rolling. Last week we had a very powerful connect on the show. We interviewed the lovely and talented Kimberly Carlisle of Lipstick Radio. She came through, Black. She was real, a woman
yes.
knows about business, and she expects only the best from those she chooses to work with. And I said chooses to work with because she has very high standards. And we are honored that she took the time to come on our show, and we made a very powerful connect with that. We're going to, you know, talk about that more later, but it was a beautiful interview. I love when a guest come on and there's no holds barred. They just come on and just keep it real. You know what I mean? And she certainly did that. She gave a great interview. So shout out to Ms. Kimberly Carlisle of Lipstick Radio. And tonight, during the second half of the show, we are bringing you the encore interview of poet extraordinaire, Mr. Princess Powell. So many people have been hitting us up about the love for this man, so we had to bring it back. He's doing big things, but he's still so very humble. And we are honored that he took the time to come on our show. So you got to stay tuned for that. But in the meantime and in between time, you know what it is. You know how we do, so you know we want to hear from you. So call us up at 646-478-3599. I'm going to throw it over to you right now, Black, because you want to talk a little business logic tonight on the show before we get to our interview. And I think what you have to talk about is very important. So I'm plugged in. I'm tuning in to you right now. It's all about you, Black. I'm going to let you take it away and do your thing, player.
Thanks, Miss P. Now, before we get into all that, you know, I just want to make a quick comment because I'm seeing a lot of Chris Brown fans out there, you know, saying that the judge and everything is being too tough on the man. He's being too tough on him, right? To hell with that. That's right. Put him on Con Air. Give him the ride of his life. Look, all I'm saying is this, and I want to give a big shout out to my man, Rapper's IQ. He put the post up today about Chris Brown, and people are just saying, you know, it's a misdemeanor, and you know they're feeding into it a little bit too much. Are they being a little too hard on him? To me, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Hell no, because he's been appearing before the man too much.
Back to back.
And, yeah, it's too much. It's too much now. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
Now,
celebrities aren't learning. That's exactly why they keep cutting up. They keep getting a little slap on the wrist, and then they go back. They feel like, you know, they're untouchable. No, they make a lesson out of them. That's what I say. Do it.
Yeah, that's how I feel. They treat them like any, you know, whatever. They're just like, whatever, man. You think you're going to go get to D.C.
stuff.
Any way you want to? Nah.
Yeah.
We're putting you on federal Con Air. Non-first class.
I'm sick of Chris Brown. I'm sick of all that. But I know this is all over the media too, but Zimmerman with the picture of Trayvon, picture he painted of Trayvon Martin, selling it for $30,000. I mean, just disrespect on top of disrespect. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a slap in the face.
Are you serious?
You know.
Like, you know, you're showing the world basically that you have no remorse for what happened. We knew that anyway. But you're really digging it in. Like, it's like you're laughing at us at this point. Really? You're selling a painting of a young man, an innocent young man, that you killed, and you're selling it for $30,000. Like, you have no remorse for what you did, none whatsoever. Now, that's ridiculous. That's who needs to be made an example of, him right there. Somebody needs to just catch him on the street and do what they do best. You know what I mean?
She said he'd catch him on the street.
I'm serious.
You putting your head out on the man?
So disrespect. Nah, I'm on the air. I would never do that.
There you go.
Never,
that's
ever,
right.
ever. Never, ever. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm just putting stuff out. However,
pass
anybody takes
20.
It is up to them. Yeah.
20
that's
bucks. Just
one. That's
pass
that. Pass the 20.
No, I'm just playing. But, yeah, that's crazy.
Yes.
You know, that's
ridiculous.
That's another
ridiculous
story that, you know, really is out there, too, about the UConn guard who, you know, had an interview, I think, not too long ago, right before the national championship, and he was talking about how he goes to bed, you know, starving or hungry or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
I saw that today. You posted.
Yeah, you know, NCAA, man, you got to get it together. You know what I'm saying? I actually posted
that's
a comment
crazy.
On that. As well, because I remember when I was in college and how, you know, how the meal plans were, you know, it all depends on what your family can afford. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might have a meal plan where you get two meals a day versus three. You know, you might even have one. You know, you might even have one meal you can get. It all depends on how much, you know, you can afford. So they got to do something. You know, they're making a lot of money off these athletes. And like I said in my post, I said, okay, I understand it. You know, the athletes is a little bit give and take. Athlete gets to get, you know, education or whatever and stuff like that, and the school gets to use them however they want or whatever. It's up to the athlete to make it, you know, to make the best out of his education. I understand all that. But the point
is... Yeah, but
if
they're making money off of them...
Right. You're still exploiting them, right? You're still exploiting them. And then the second part is not guaranteed that any one of these athletes are going to make it to the next level. You can get hurt. Anything like that can happen. And the other thing is, it's not a guarantee that any of these athletes can ever make the type of money that you made off them. Even if they get their education, they're in debt the moment they come out. But you just made, you know, especially if a player stays in all 4 years, which is rare. And that's why they really lay into these athletes, because most of them only play 1-2 years and then they're gone. But this kid, he started as a freshman and now is a senior. So he has made this school millions of dollars because he won a championship as a freshman and he just won another championship as a senior. So, you know, just do the math.
Out.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
You
can zone out.
You, Black, but I'm
hey, look. My fellas out there who watch ball and understand what
you
I'm talking
my
about, they know what I'm talking
about. I'm like,
Yeah. See, Miss Petey only cares. Now, you talk about some Real Housewives, Miss Petey all in it.
No. I don't
yes,
even talk about
you
that
laugh.
On the show, so. Later
we're going to bring that
call
in now.
Queue, though.
PD Radio.
Petey Radio, what's your name? Where you calling from?
What up? This is Dr. No. I'm calling from VA. What up?
What's going on, Dr. No?
You're not calling up
what's
to harass
good?
Me, are you?
What's
going
what?
On, Doc? What?
Man,
get
not,
on
I'm,
her.
I'm,
get
I'm not dealing with no leprechauns today. I'm on some peaceful shit today, yo.
Uh-oh. I swear,
what's
I'm
going on
you,
with you?
I'm going to beat you on sight. What's going on, please?
No, only thing I'm worried about is my kneecaps, then. I'll be all right. I'll take my chances.
Whatever. I hate you.
I hate me, too, sometimes. What's good? Y'all good, though?
We good. We good. We got
is that
the
black
on the line.
Was that Black hosting with you tonight?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Black.
Oh, what's up, man? Peace. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm hosting. I'm every Tuesday.
I just got to make sure, you know. I like to know. I like to not be unsure, you know. That's all.
There you go.
you want to guest host with us one day, Dr. No?
I definitely will. You know what the funny thing about it is? Like, I've been wanting to do it, but with the problem is because of my work schedule and things I'm trying to do, like, I hate to commit to something and be like, he ain't show up again. He ain't host the show again. He too busy. Nah, I'm good. I'd rather just come in and, hey, not without my welcome. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So what's on your mind tonight? It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I haven't called in a while. You know, I had to shout you out. I've been meaning to call you, C, and my man Tango. Everybody got their own shows, and I've been wanting to reach out to y'all, but I've just been kind of incognito, you know?
I know.
You come out the woodworks on Twitter every now and again, you know, and try
man,
to blast
man.
Me, but it's all good.
Man, somebody got to do it. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's all love, though. It ain't like, you know, I'm glad to see people still around, you know?
Uh-huh. I love it. So while we have you on the line, Black, why don't you ask him some questions about your business logic you're going to talk about tonight?
Oh, hey, perfect.
Yeah.
This is perfect. Quick
he's
question.
A producer. He know what he likes and don't like, so.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're taking on clients and things like that, do you have a structure that you like to follow as far as getting information from those guys? Like, you know, what do you demand as far as if they're doing vocals over your tracks? You know, what is your process that you go through? And is it always the same for each client, or do you, you know, you kind of change it up every now and again, depending on who you work with?
With the technology, the age of technology being the way that it is, it varies and it's actually more beneficial. Like, because I work a regular job and I ain't afraid to admit that. So at the time,
right.
You know,
we all do.
At the same time, but I mean, I think that's the best way for artists nowadays to do things, because so many people get force fed the dream of being a millionaire off of this rap shit, hip-hop shit, R&B shit, whatever, and the reality is they pretty much end up getting sucked dry, and the people in the background are the ones just chilling like villains while you slaving trying to make a name for yourself. I feel as if nowadays if you do music, you should be doing it for the love of the music, because the way the industry is, it's up and down. They love you. Your phone won't stop ringing. When people hate you or you're not important, it won't ring. But are you still love it is the question.
Right.
You know, as far as like, you know, as far as doing things, as far as nowadays, like Twitter and a lot of these social mediums could be very beneficial to your business as far as meeting people. Because like I said, everybody's doing different things in different places. But being technology the way that it is, it's nothing for me to call up C. Like, I call back C to be like, yo, C, I got some joints. He's like, word, send them. And I send them to him. and he's the type of person, he likes recording with his own engineer. So I'll send him the beat pretty much mixed the way it is and let him rock off that. Some artists, I'll send him the beat, and then they'll send me back the vocals, and I'll go mix them down.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a give and take thing. So it's not, like I said, it's a level of trust, too, because it's like you want to put out good music. It's even like my SoundCloud, for example. I put my beats up on SoundCloud because I don't like making beat tapes. I put them in one generalized area so people can go right to them, and they don't have to go through four or five sites. They can go right to that one site. It's one consistent site where I put stuff on. You know what I'm saying? So if somebody do like something I do, they can go ahead and contact me. I got my Gmail account up there. You can hit me up. And it's like it's funny because people still hit me up like, how can I get these beats? I'm like, dude, you got these fundamentals.
That is what I'm going to talk about a little bit later.
Yes,
you know, that I'm so happy that you hit on that, because sometimes I feel like you can put out all your information. You can take time out, and you're putting time into creating a website, putting your music in one place. You're putting out instructions, and people will still come to you in like this oblivious state and say, hey, how do I get your music? And you got that look in your face. It's like
huh? Like Scooby said, huh? Shaggy? Scooby?
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
It's crazy. It's like the record just scratched.
Right, but my thing about it with that, though, is it's just a lot of times, too, is just people are hype monsters. So when you get to the point where when people really want something you want, like we live in an age of information, so there's no reason not to know what you don't want to know. You got Google.
Right.
You got all these search engines. You got people. You got books. You still got libraries. Come on, man. Like, come on.
Right.
Like, if you really want to know something, you're going to try your damnedest to find it. And that's where I'm kind of glad that people don't necessarily hit me up, because I feel like if you really want to hit me up, you'll follow the fucking instructions. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, just hit me up. Yo, this is my name, such and such. Yo, this is my budget. You know what I mean? And let's work with that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people ain't built like that. So I'm not pressed. I'm still going to keep making my music while you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life. And when you get it together, we'll get together and make something happen.
See, and that is a great point that you just made. And I want the people to realize that, like, when you come to people who are about their business incorrectly, you might not get a response at all.
It's a turn off.
You know what I'm saying? So it's in your best interest to do your homework, because I feel like a lot of people don't do that no more. They don't do their homework about people and find out, you know, what their skill sets are and what they really bring to the table and all the other good stuff. So that's a great point that you just put that out there.
And everybody's always trying to get something for nothing. Like, come on. Like,
I made beats.
Yo, dudes be like, but check this out. Yo, and this goes out to you rappers, especially you rappers. I'm calling you out. You dudes will walk around with a $300 belt on, $200 pair of sneakers on, a fucking Hollister shirt that's just medium, that fits your little brother. But you can't. But when I ask you how much I charge for a beat, and I tell you, you in amazement. But you want somebody to invest money into you and what you do, and then like automatically, I ain't hot as I was before. We don't get the beat for free though. Come on, man, fuck y'all niggas.
Wait, Doc, that's why I shared
rappers.
A post that somebody put up. I was dying. Somebody put up a post, and it was saying, it was about rappers, like, all you do is rap about money. What you mean you don't got money for studio time? I was dying. And it's the truth.
Man,
right?
Man, that's
everybody
real.
Everybody walking
real
around
talk.
Showboating. But when it comes down to the money, they're like, that's too much.
Man,
I can't afford that. Like, what?
But they, like you said, what you spending it on? You're not spending all your music. What you doing? You're spending
on
a strip club? You're making it rain? What you doing? What you doing with the money?
Let me tell you, I'm gonna keep it so funky with you. And the last year was the first year in 3 years I bought me anything physically clothes wise to wear, because anything I had money, I put into my music. I put into buying new equipment.
Go.
I put into buying speakers. I put into fucking finding programs and mastering what I do and making that sacrifice. And for somebody to be
now
like, yo, I can't even. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yo, niggas act like $200 for a beat is a lot. Like $300, you did a point in time when motherfuckers was charging 5 G's for each beat when they was in the industry, 10 G's. Timberland was getting over a fucking quarter of a million
exactly.
for each beat that he did. Like, let's be real about it. I'm nice with what I do. I don't shun myself from it. I don't have to toot my own horn, but yes, I am nice with my shit. Is there other people that's out there that's nice with their shit? Absolutely. But fuck you, pay me. That's it.
Yeah, it was destined for you to call up today. It was destined. You had to call up today because you are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct, man. Like, and I feel like either the MCs don't believe in themselves, that's why they don't want to spend that kind of money on it. Because if you're hot, if you know that you got skills and you can make a hot song, it's worth it to you to buy that beat.
Yeah. But
why would you settle for
also,
something else that's not
also,
as hot as the beat that you got because you don't want to pay for it?
It's also a double-edged sword, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the way technology has progressed so far in advance nowadays, anybody can be a producer. And that's another thing that bothers me. Anybody can be a singer. That bothers me, too. Like, come on, be like, really? Let me tell you something. If you had to take dudes, and I'm old school, so you can call me old, whatever, but if you had to go back to a time where you only had 8-second sample time and have to make a classic song out of it, could you do it? If somebody took away a template for your Fruity Loops and you had to start from scratch, could you do it? You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And a lot of these dudes can make what's popular now. I could do that, but I don't like that because everybody else is doing it.
Right.
Come on.
I'm
like,
with
yo,
you 100%.
That's about any creative talent, and I talk about it all the time because it burns me up. It's like everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody wants to be able to say, I could do this, I could do this. But do you have a real passion for it, though, or are you just doing it because you think it's a quick way to make a buck or to be seen?
Right.
Like, everything I'm doing, I have a passion for. So when I see other people trying to come and do it, I'm like, for real? What does this have before? Oh, all of a sudden, now you do this stuff. But, you know, it's whatever. It's the way of the world. And we just got to do our best to make ourselves stand out from whatever it is they're trying to do.
But see, this is my thing about it, though, too, is, like, it's so many issues that go into it that it's not based upon talent no more.
It's not.
Good to have talent and get in the door, but a lot of these dudes don't have talent. And I'm not going to add nobody names on it because you're not that important in my life, but it is what it is.
I know, that's right.
And then I had a rapper tell me, I had a DJ tell me this, a fucking DJ, the backbone of what hip-hop music is, tell me that fucking lyrics don't count no more. Well, if lyrics don't fucking count no more, why half the industry got ghostwriters?
Wow. Crazy.
That is true. It is partly true. I believe it is true because a lot of these cats don't have lyrics. They just a hook and ride the beat.
And
the producers can't get paid.
And the producers are getting guap. Was sitting in the studio using the same 808 and the same snare, and I know you know who I'm talking about. I ain't gotta say no names. It is what the fuck it is. You know what I mean?
Oh man,
let me tell you something. There's so many complexities to black people. If for you to narrow it down to just us being money hungry and about booty shaking and bitches is so fucking nearsighted. That just shows you who runs what hip hop is. I'm sorry.
Tell it.
It is what
it is.
But let me tell before I start sounding like KRS and people start ignoring me. I'm good. I ain't got nothing else to say on that one. I'm going to chill on that one.
Nah, that's
you
my man
plenty.
Right there,
you
man. He was going around to the colleges kicking that knowledge. I love it.
But see, that's the thing about it, though. Like with rock and roll, people still love the Beatles. People still love mm-hmm. Elvis Presley, even though he's a fucking thief. People love the Beatles, Eric Clapton, so on and so mm-hmm. forth, the Grateful Dead. But when it comes to hip-hop, it ain't like that. And that's the problem. That's why in the future it's going to be way more white artists doing hip-hop than it's going to be black ones. And then you're going to sit there and be like, how the fuck did this happen? The same way it happened with rock and roll, the same way it happened with blues, or any other form of music that we've decided to create from our hearts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There it
go
is.
With that. It is.
Well, Dr. No, we definitely appreciate you calling up tonight and sharing your views with us on that, because it needed to be said, it needed to be heard, and you did it. Thank you so very much.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate it. Oh, another thing, too, before I go, man, check out that remix I did for that Pharrell joint, that Happy joint.
Oh, okay. You got a remix.
Oh, yeah, I'll send it to you.
I'm
going to send it to you. Matter of fact, it's on my SoundCloud. You can download it. You can download it on
my
SoundCloud.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's
ugly.
All right,
we're going to check it out.
Yeah.
I'm about to
do
that.
Do that.
Most definitely. All right, stay tuned for the rest of the show if you can. We're going to be playing the encore of our interview with Mr. Prentice Powell, which was a very good interview. So we thank you again for calling us, Dr. No, PD Radio.
Thanks.
We love you.
All right.
Sir.
Peace.
Oh, man, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah. So right now, Black, we're going to go into a song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go into our interview with Mr. Prentice Powell. Time is just kind of slipping away, so we got to keep it moving.
Yeah, it was destined that Dr. No called up tonight. I loved it.
Yes. We're about to play my theme song right now.
Your theme song.
And then I'll pause. Oh,
Gianni Versace blue leather suit. My nails were done, my hair was fierce. See, I was riding in a Cooper's limousine.
Don't you want to ride? I'm a bit hot till I'm crazy.
Don't you know the name of
Yeah. Just look at them. Dog is the elephant. A natural dog.
Radar. Radar.
Radio exclusive. It is that time of the night where we shine our creative artist spotlight, and tonight we are so very honored to bring to our audience the very talented, educated, distinguished 2013 NAACP Image Award nominee, Mr. Prentice Powell Princeton. Welcome to Princeton Radio.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
No, we thank you for taking the time to be on with us tonight.
Exactly.
I have to tell you real quick, Princess, you have my grandfather's name, so I just love your name.
Oh, that's dope. Do I?
Yes, that was my grandfather's name. So I'm like, oh, his name is Princess. My grandfather was like a great man, so I know you're a great man. Anybody with that name has to be a great man. And
well, I'm trying. I'm definitely trying. I would love to continue that legacy, so that's dope to hear.
You are doing it. Princess, I want you to know we have many, many authors and poets who listen to our show, and they are over the top right now to hear you on the show tonight because the love for your talent is so very strong, and the people, they were just going nuts. Our listeners were going nuts knowing that you were going to be on tonight. How does that feel? You have, like, you're just everywhere right now. You're in high demand right now. How's that feeling for you?
You know, more than anything, it's really humbling, you know, because I think, you know, us as writers, like I write when everybody's sleeping in my house, you know, and for me, I write from a very selfish space. So I write to keep sane, you know, so I'm in my notebook so I can get through tomorrow. And to know that, you know, there's people who, you know, even though I've been performing for a while, it hasn't been on this level until probably the last year and a half. Just to know that people know who I am, the way people know who I am, considering the fact that I write at night in my kitchen on the island, you know, in a ragged notebook, you know what I mean? It's really humble, and it's a blessing because, you know, I this is not what I was going for. You know, it wasn't. So it was all in God's plan. So, you know, I realize I'm a vessel, so I'm just going along with the ride.
Okay. I hear that. And I think that's what makes it so sweet when it's not expected. You're just doing what you love. You have a passion for what you love.
Right.
And when it comes to be recognized, it just makes it that much more sweet. And I'm going to be honest, Princess. I'm going to be very honest. I am new to the Princess Powell phenomenon. I came to recognize your talent. I came to recognize your talent because someone posted a video of you performing The System on Arsenio Hall. They posted it on my Facebook page. And I'm going to tell you, I looked at that video, and I was instantly hooked, and my listeners will tell you, I saw that video, and I said on my page, I said, I'm going to get him for the show. I'm going to get him for the show because I was so in awe, and I became an instant fan as soon as I saw that piece. I've never seen anyone do it on the level that you do it. And I reached out
to you
on Twitter, and you responded, and that just made my level of respect for you go that much higher. I'm like, this brother is doing his thing. And he is still
thank
so
you.
Very humble to even respond. No, I thank you.
Well, you
so
know,
I want you,
I mean,
Princess,
honestly,
to take us. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no, I don't mean to cut you off. It's just something you said sparked a thought.
Go ahead.
This can all go tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like this can disappear tomorrow. So for me to, and I think about, I have a poem that I wrote about poets that I met back in the day who I love. You know, I'm a fan of this craft, and I met them, and they were jerks. You know, and they didn't come to the poetry spot in a Bentley or a Benz. Some of them caught the bus. So I'm like, why are you on your own hype? Like, this can go tomorrow. So for anybody who writes me or sends me an email is like, yo, can you get on this show or can you do this? If I can, I will, because it can all go tomorrow. Like, so what if I'm on TV? Like, that can go.
Wow.
So I just appreciate the fact that people appreciate my therapy. You know, so it's not a problem at all to be here rocking with y'all, and I'm a poet. I'm a fan of this. This is what I do. This is what I breathe. This is what I obsess over. So to be in the same space, I travel a lot now. So if I can't physically be in the same space, I love to be in the same space on the phone with other people who do the same thing, because it's important. It's important.
You know, that's exactly why you're on the high that you're on right now. Just listening to you and how humble you are and how you appreciate everything that's in front of you. Because as you say, you have people who they take things for granted. They're on their own high, and they don't realize you can't be where you are without people supporting you. And
right,
you,
absolutely.
You understand that, and that's exactly why you're on the level you're on right now. And that's why so many people, you know, that's why so many of us have such a high level of respect for you, and stay the way you are, because God is shining the light on you. All right, that's all I need to hear.
I promise you I will. That's the one thing I can promise. I will.
I love it. I love it. That's right. When did your love for writing begin, Prentice? What inspired this gift in you?
I don't think I ever, honestly, it's going to sound crazy. I don't ever think I honestly had a love for writing. In high school, I did forensic speech and debate, so I was used to being on stage doing theater. But when I was in 2003, I was at the library, and a cousin of mine who was a year younger than me, shout out to my cousin Tyson, he's a dope MC. He came, and he was my cousin who was a couple months older than me. Everything he did, I did. So when he got into football when we were five, I got into football. He was tight. I sucked. When he got into basketball, he was dope at basketball. I was not as good. So he came to the local library. My mother told me that he was going to do poems, and I was like, okay, well, let me go see what he's doing. He did a dope poem. And so naturally, I went home and was like, I can do that. And so I went home, and I wrote a poem. And actually what happened is after I wrote that poem, I broke up with my ex, and I was sitting in the house. I had my first apartment and was just kind of growing a beard and eating ice cream and doing the reverse wait until exhale type thing. So for me, it wasn't wait until exhale. I think I was watching Brown Sugar over and over and over.
There you
but
go.
That was my thing. Right. Yeah, that's a little more manly, right? I was about to brush
right,
sugar.
Right.
You know, eating some ice cream, you know what I'm saying?
More manly.
Right.
So my mom took me out to the Oakland Slam, and she signed me up, and I didn't know, and I've always had this ability to memorize pretty good. So I had the poem in my head, and she signed me up, and I didn't know. So I came in like third that first time, and the coach, Sonia Whittle, she's one of the founders of the Oakland Slam. She was like, you should come back and compete to be on the team. And I was like, well, I just wrote this. Like, I don't do poetry. So I went home, and I wrote a new poem every week for 5 weeks. So each week I came back with a new poem, and I made the team. And 2 months after writing my first poem, I came in fourth in the nation. So it kind of was like, you know, it kind of was just like, okay, well, this may be something new for me to explore. And it kind of took off from there, and I, you know, did poetry spots and paid for my own tickets, slept on couches, caught greyhounds across country to, you know, rock for 15 minutes with $10 CDs and sleeves.
Right.
With, you know, Sharpies. You know how we do. You know our grind.
Got
stuck in a couple cities for a little longer than I wanted to. And, you know, I had to sling CDs or rock on the corner to make some money to get home. And it kind of just went from there. And then I got into education through doing poetry, and that kind of opened a whole nother door of developing curriculum and things of that nature. And so that's kind of how it started.
See, it's the passion, and people don't understand. You have to have a passion. Like, you didn't start out wanting to do poetry, but you got into it, you know, grabbed a hold of you, and you did what you had to do to make it happen. It's the passion, and people got to understand that you have, no matter what it is you do in life, you have to have a passion. And I have to tell you, me and my co-host Black, we were talking about you. You just spoke on being able to have a good memory and memorizing your lines. We were talking just yesterday about how just watching, you know, some of your videos, we was like, the way you deliver your message is with such ease. It's like you're not consciously trying to memorize it. It's just coming off like fluid. It's just liquid. It's just, speaking of the, when we watched your video, I don't know the name of the, you know, the poem, but it's the one, I'm Not Who You Say I Am. Oh, man, Princess. And I have to tell you, our special guest host who is on the line with us tonight, Miss Valencia Poindexter, she is an author of Thomas Clock. She's on with us tonight. She turned me on to that video. And I'm watching you, and I'm like, you're saying, imagine how my kids are going to be when I'm through with them. You're like,
That's how I felt.
I was done. I said, this is it. I said, I've never seen a poet deliver the way you deliver. You killed it. I'm like so in awe of you. Is that important to you, Prentice, to touch? No. Thank you. Is it important to you to touch on subjects to get us talking and thinking and, you know, kind of looking outside the box of what the media feeds us? Because that piece right there, you brought it.
To tell you the truth, no. I mean, and it sounds so weird because sometimes I have these, you know, like I do interviews and people ask me questions, and I wish sometimes that I had more than what I actually have, but I'd be lying to you. What's important is for me to keep saying, you know what I mean? Like so that poem I wrote because I felt like I hadn't written anything on behalf of us as Black men. So I felt like it was necessary for me to write something on behalf of us Black men who may not necessarily have the space or the platform that I do to say how we feel about ourselves. And that's really all it was. So I don't really write to get, you know, people talking about anything. I write because this is how I feel. So if you like it, cool. If you don't, cool. I don't care. This is how I feel.
I'm talking about.
But that's a true poet, though. That is a true poet. You write for what you feel and not, you know, for recognition or to, you know, I just wanted to ask that question, but that is true what you said. You have to write what you're feeling, and how people perceive it is up to them. But you have to be true to you with whatever it is that you put out.
Right, and I think the key for me is just sincerity. Like, I'm very sincere about everything I say. Like, I make sure that I can live behind everything that I say. If I say it in my poem, I make sure that no matter how much of a point somebody makes against it, that I can own what I said.
Right.
You know, that you have a very valid point. You know what? This is something that I didn't think about when I wrote this. It's a valid point, but you know what? I still stand behind what I said. You know, so I think for me, it's just staying sincere, and I'm very passionate. So what you say about it's fluid, thank you so much, but I don't really care about my delivery too much. You know, like I'm not writing to be like, okay, so let me put this, then some, then this, and that rhymes with that.
Right. And kick the bat.
No, I don't care. Well, so I'm really just kind of talking.
I don't care how you put it together. All I know is it's like butter when it comes out your mouth. It just comes out with such ease. It's like I want to get on your level. I'm going to pull out myself, and I want to get on your level. I could just get up there and speak, and it's just like liquid. It's just kind of flowing out with such ease. You do it like – I don't know if you understand the level of the gift that you have. It is crazy. It is crazy. I'm telling you.
Thank you. I'm glad I don't. You know, like I realize I'm a vessel now. You know, like it may sound kind of weird, but I realize that I'm a vessel. I realize that this is not me. Like that's something that I came across probably in December. I realized like, yo, this is way bigger than me. Like I ain't really just a tool that's being used to say these things that are coming out, And I think, you know, I don't really, I thank God every day, but I'm happy that I have a gift, but, you know, I've learned that when you have a gift, one of my mentors, Amir Suleiman, he taught me something a long time ago. Shout out to Amir Suleiman. For those who are listening, if you do not know who Amir Suleiman is, please look him up. Just type in Amir Suleiman Danger, and that's all you need.
And
Amir
there
taught
he
me,
is.
He told me, right. He told me something once, and because I had the blessing of doing some workshops with him in the hood in Frisco, in Fillmore. And I was telling him how I was frustrated on what I was writing. I didn't want to sound like anybody else. And he just told me one time that he said, he used a dope analogy, and he said, okay, so you have to look at it this way as far as poets and artists. Everybody has a smile. So he said, if I try to get up on stage and if I try to smile like you, I'm not smiling like myself. He said, in turn, what I am trying to do is represent somebody that I'm not. And then he also says, so in turn, by trying to represent somebody I'm not through my smile and not giving my genuine smile, I'm robbing the world the opportunity of receiving what I have to give through my smile. And in turn, I'm robbing myself of the opportunity to see what happens when I smile, which in turn makes me extremely selfish to the whole world because I am not smiling like myself because I'm too busy trying to smile like somebody else.
Right.
So, if you take that and you think about it, it's like, why try to smile like somebody else? Why try to sound like somebody else? Or you know, don't do this because, you know, so-and-so is doing it. Do it because you want to do it. And whatever that is, do it because you want to believe in what it is that you're doing.
Yes. Like, you don't even understand how deep this is right now. We have so many conversations on the show about this, how people, you know, they kind of jump on bandwagons and want to do what everybody else is doing. No, do it for the love that you have for doing it. Let your individuality come out through that. Don't do it the way the next person doing it. Do it the way you want to do it. And it's so refreshing to hear you say that. You have no idea. Man, that's powerful right there. But, Princess, I want to turn it over to my co-host in a second because I have a habit of taking over the show, and they'll tell you so. You know? But I have another question now. I want to ask you real quick. I mean, you're so big right now, and your group, Fiveology, which you're a part of, opened up for Jill Scott's 2013 summer tour. Now, Jill herself is amazing, just a beautiful, beautiful spirit. And the network that we're under, Six Man Radio, they had an interview with her, and the interview was just so beautiful. She's such a warm spirit. But I have to tell you, and I have to let you know, Princess, I'm in awe of you right now because you got the basket of presents of my all-time favorite entertainer, Stevie Wonder. I'm jealous right now. Like you don't even know.
Yeah.
Please be jealous. You have to tell
please
me, Princess, well, I am jealous. I'm telling you straight up.
Please.
What was that like to be in his presence? I can't even imagine. I am not starstruck at all by anyone. But this man right here, Stevie Wonder, I would faint. I'm telling you straight up. What was it like being in his
presence? That was in 2000 and, let me remember what I was wearing. That was 2008. I'm sorry, I got my phone.
Okay.
That was 2008. I was at Spoken Funk on, so it was a brother named Poetry. Shout out to Poetry. He was on Death Poetry Jam back in the day. He did a lot for us as poets. He was one of the first poets to start getting on commercials and things like that. Poetry has a in L.A. called Spoken Funk. And by the way, that's another thing I feel like we don't do as artists. We don't pay homage to those people who come before us or helped us out.
Yes.
But that's, sorry, that's a little segue. So Poetry has an event called Spoken Funk in L.A., in Hollywood. And I was on stage and I was rocking, but Stevie Wonder owns one of the stations out there. He's one of the co-owners of a R&B station, who he was at that time. And I was on stage and I was probably like 7 minutes into my set, and I don't remember what poem I was doing, but I remember he walked in with Malcolm Jamal Warner, and I hadn't met Malcolm Jamal Warner yet at that time. So Stevie Wonder and Theo walk into the spot while I'm doing a poem, and I was just, like, I stopped. You know, like, I literally stopped. I tried to keep going because I was like, no, I'm about to go hard. You know, I'm about to finish the rest of this poem. and I stopped and I said, I'm so sorry, y'all. I know this is unprofessional. This is when, you know, like, I paid for my own ticket to come out there. I think I caught the Greyhound. I had some CDs. And I said, but Stevie Wonder is just walked in here, y'all, and he did that all the time at this space. So nobody was really geek like I was, you know, and this is L.A., so, you know, people are, you know, used to it and stuff like that. But it was amazing. And so after, I got to sit down with him for about 30 minutes, and we ate some French fries. And I had and sat down, and he told me that he liked my poetry. That's all he said. He said, I really like your poetry. And I just, I didn't need anything else.
I bet you did.
You know, and I wanted to pick his brain, but I don't think at that time I really had learned yet. I think I was just humbled, you know. Stevie Wonder is my favorite artist of all time. He's a musical genius.
Yes.
And so I just listened to him and Malcolm Jamal Warner kind of talk, and people come up to him. I just kind of sat there, to tell you the truth. So I wish I had like a, you know, a bigger story than that, but it was amazing. It was amazing to be in that man's presence. You know, I mean,
oh man,
he's a genius. You know,
like, you understand, Francis. I want to be in your presence right now because you were in his presence. That's how
we rubbing off on each other, right?
Yes, it's just to know you got to soak up his aura. It's like, oh, I just want to be around you now because I know you were around him. It's like I can't even imagine. As I said, I am not starstruck at all. I don't care who it is. I'm not. To me, people are people. I don't care what your level of fame is, but Stevie Wonder, I am not going to lie.
Yeah.
If I'm in a room with that man, I'm done. I am truly, truly done. He is just awesome.
As you should be, because I was too.
Oh, man. I love it. All right, I'm going to pass the mic right now to our guest co-host of the night, author Valencia Poindexter. She is very excited about you on the show tonight, and I know she has a question or two for you. So, Valencia.
Hi. I am very excited because, like I told Miss CD, I have been looking forward to speaking to you. And, like, when I first heard you, it was on Miss CD's Facebook, and then I came across Verses and Flows. And it was purely by accident that I even came across that because my friend Untamed actually took me to that. And, of course, once I like something, I have to go keep looking to see if I really like that person or if they was just in all one piece.
One hit.
Right. One hit wonder kind of thing. And I found your piece, Good Father. And it was so powerful. The words were powerful in itself, but then it was like there was more behind that because you were still so humble behind it. And while the message is simple that you were trying to get out, what was one thing that I want to know? What's one thing that you really wanted somebody to really hear past the words?
You know, it's really interesting that you say that. And hi, Valencia. It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank
Hi.
You for having me on the show as well. The interesting thing is I have to go to I've been running that poem all day. Yesterday, it's crazy. Yesterday, I'm a very candid person. Yesterday, I watched my son learn how to ride his bike with no training wheels on Skype. And I watched him do it. I watched him do it with his mother's boyfriend. And he is a really good dude. My son has a little sister by his mother, and he's the father. He's a really good dude. And that was the hardest thing I've had to do, I think, thus far. I think it tops everything I've been through thus far. And it was really hard. I even posted a picture on Facebook of me watching it happen just to kind of motivate fathers who aren't doing their jobs to just kind of remind them that there's fathers out here who envy them. The crazy thing is I have to fly to L.A. on Monday because I'm back on Arsenio. I film on Monday, and it airs on Tuesday. And I'm doing Good Father. That's the poem I'm choosing to do. And right now it has more relevance than what you saw on TV when I had my son in my lap. It has more relevance than when I did it on season 1 of Verses and Flow. And I think for me, I've really been thinking about this because I'm never nervous, but I am extremely nervous about Monday. And I'm nervous because I know the platform that I'm going to be speaking on, what it's done thus far, me being on that platform. I know that's not a performance. You know, I can't just do that poem, so it's very rare that people see that poem. I don't put it in my sets because if I don't feel it, I don't do it. And sometimes I just don't want to feel that way. So for me, to answer your question with saying all that, to answer your question, there are so many things that I think I want people to do. Like, I want people to hurt like I hurt. I mean, it's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to feel my pain. I'm tired of people saying we don't love our children. I'm tired of feeling like I'm in 1947 when I go into the Santa Clara County Family Court. I'm tired of getting – that's the closest I've ever felt to segregation was – in the court battle fighting to keep my son from going to Florida. And I just want people to know that I want my son. You know what I mean? Like, that's all it is. Like, I really want my dude back. He's happy. I'm happy he's happy. You know what I mean? But I want my dude back. And I can't, you know, like, I get emotional thinking about it right now. Like, I just want my dude back. And so...
Yeah.
When I do that poem, it's not to bash his mother. I'm never going to speak bad on any of my children's mothers because I want to lead by example. That's why I don't talk about her in that poem. You know what I mean? Because it's not about her.
Right.
It's about the fact that I feel that the court system is unjust, and it's the fact that I have to go through things that I feel I shouldn't have to go through as a parent. And that's really, I guess, all my point is in that poem. It's therapeutic. It's painful every time, and it doesn't get easier. And my son is five now. You know, if you look on YouTube, when I around the time I wrote it, he still has a pacifier in his mouth. He was like one and a half. And he's five, and that poem hurts even more now than it did when I wrote it. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to think, like, when is it gonna feel different? You know, like when. When is it going to – when can I stop – when can I retire this poem? You know how we retire poems? You know, we say we're not going to do them anymore?
Like,
I want to retire this poem, but I can't because it's still so relevant. So, for me, I just want people to know I want my dues back.
You know, I really want to say this. I really admire your approach on this because you're not writing for anybody to give you recognition on that. Even now, it's just like this isn't about you. This isn't about you liking the poem. This isn't about any of that. This is just about me wanting my son. And this was just therapeutic, and you just happened to see it. And I really love that. I really love that passion behind it and, you know, and how it's still about that, regardless of how popular this piece has gotten.
Right.
And I really admire
that. Thank you. And, you know, it's totally strategic about me. They gave me the option of what poem I wanted to do a while back. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to do good, father. Like, you don't see any of us on TV talking about we love our kids. They always talk about how we don't raise our kids, how we're not around our kids, how we don't care about our kids. And granted, I have flaws as a father. There are plenty of other areas I can improve. But, and I want my dude back. So you going to give me a platform on Arsenio and ask me what I want to
do?
Oh, no, I'm about to go hard. No, because, hey, there may be a family court, a family law attorney who is way better than the one I had, who may hear this. I want my son back. You know what I mean? Like, let's be real. Like, you give me this platform to reach 1.6 million people?
Right.
Oh, no, I want my son back. So I'm going to let 1.6 million know I want my dude back.
I'm going to tell you, Princess, I personally have so much respect for you because of the fact how you speak about how you want to be a good father, how you just want your son, and how you also acknowledge that you will not speak bad of his mother. It has nothing to do with her. And people don't realize how important that is because just because a couple doesn't work out, that should not affect your relationship with your child. And I'm a big, big advocate of that, very big. Like, my parents divorced when I was very young, but I tell you what, my parents were best friends. My father never kicked my mother's back in. My mother never kicked my father's back in. They came together and raised us as parents, and that's all that I know.
and to hear a man say, I just want to spend time with my child. I just love my child. I just want to do what's right by him. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk bad about his mother. It's not about her. And even if you can, you choose not to. And you get big respect for that. Like, you have no idea, big respect for that. And your child, even when they're young, they may not be able to understand, but as they grow older, they will remember, my dad never said nothing bad about my mom, or my mom never said anything bad about my dad. They're going to remember that. And when you have a lot of bitter couples out here because it didn't work, they want to bash each other. So respect to you on that. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
But honestly, that's how it should be. I learned that from my mother. My mother never, never said anything ill about my father. And when I found out at 16, everything I found out about my pops, I had so much more respect for my mom. I was like,
that
how
was
could
me.
You not just, how could you not rip that for everything that he did not represent? You know, and so when I found it out, I looked at my mom like, yo, you are such a genius. And I feel like for me, I need to leave. There's a documentary that I'm in called Also Seen in Men. Valencia, what's Valencia's last name? I forget her last name, but you may be able to Google it and find it, but it's about, it's filthy.
Yeah, and, I thought you said Valencia.
No, not a different Valencia.
Not you, V, a different Valencia.
Well, everybody calls me.
And in the documentary, you know, she signed some waivers to be in it, and there was a scene where she's picking him up, and she's acting ratchet. And I didn't tell her to act that way. And, you know, it's weird because she dyed her head red and everything, and that's not her, but her head was red, and she just acted an ass on tape. And it made it into the documentary.
Wow.
You know, it made it into the documentary. And my thing is, and this is not to say anything ill, you know, but my whole thing is I want to leave something that speaks for itself. You know what I mean? So when I'm gone, my son can turn on this Arsenio performance, can turn on Verses and Flow, can look at my body of work that honors him or speaks on him, so that it's not just me saying, you know, your daddy loves you, right? Because I feel like everything comes to light in the long run. And I want my work to speak for itself rather than for me to speak for my work. You know what I mean? So
there it is.
That's what I'm trying to do.
My level of respect is going up by the second. Oh man.
I don't get it when people say that. I mean, I thank you, but it still doesn't really register to me. And I'm not even asking why. It's just how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I appreciate it, and I'm thankful.
I respect that too. In the video, you say that when you read your poem, Good Father, you say that, like, you know, I don't need likes, I don't need shares, I don't need your comments.
No,
you're just speaking from the heart.
Ain't gonna get them back.
Yeah, right.
I'm not gonna get them back.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna get them back. You telling me dope, but what it will do is, you know, I had a brother who one time came up to me after I did that poem. He said, "Man, my son is 3.5 years old, and I haven't seen him once, and he lives around the corner from me."
Mm.
And he said, "Your poem makes me want to go see him." I swear to God, 2 months later, I seen him with his son eating tacos.
Wow.
I didn't say anything to him. I seen it, and I walked by, and I was like, yo, this is bigger than me. You know, he was eating tacos with his 3.5-year-old son
right.
2 months later.
Wow.
That power,
you know,
man.
Oh, you never know. Right. What we do has power. Like people say, you know.
Right.
There's power in words. Action speak loud in words? Nah, not all the time. Because a lot of times you don't get action until they hear something. You know, for anybody thinks that, you know, we don't have any value in the things that we're saying, the things that we're doing, you may not need to be doing this thing because you're insulting us who believe otherwise. You know?
There it is. Princess, I have to tell you, our Twitter and Facebook followers are, like, going bananas over your interview right now. People are so in awe of you right now, how you're just coming with the truth and just being real, you know. People love that. Instead of you trying to put on this facade, you're coming with the real, and people respect that and appreciate that, and our followers are loving it. I would just like to ask you right now, you know, I did ask you earlier, would you be willing to do a piece on the air? Are you still prepared to do that for us here on PD Radio?
We can do whatever you want to do. You want to do poems, one poem, it does not matter.
Oh,
well,
man, like,
good. This
I'm blushing,
you know,
right now. I'm just smiling
then,
ear to ear, so yes.
The thing I love about this is that,
mm-hmm.
so it's at the point now where, like, when I go to L.A., I'm in L.A. probably 4 or 5 times a month now, which is probably a 50-minute flight from the Bay Area, because I'm from
mm-hmm.
Oakland, I'm in the Bay Area. It's now at the
okay.
point where, and I'm telling people this not to brag, but I want to show that there is no glass ceiling to what we are doing.
Yeah.
I have, like, drivers now, right? So, like, when I get off a plane, there's a white man in a suit with a sign
mm-hmm.
that says, Prince
mm-hmm.
Powell. You know what I mean? And I
yes.
take a picture of every single white man holding that suit. You know, that's the closest
yes.
I'm going to get to my reparation. So I take a picture, right?
Yes.
And even if I have a duffel bag, you know, even if I have a duffel bag and I'm only there for a day, like on Monday, I make him hold my bag, and he walks
yes.
in front of me. Well, and I'm walking, and I walk to this big-ass black Escalade with tinted windows, and only I'm in it. You know, and
yes.
I enjoy the moment because I've worked for it and I've earned it, and it is possible for us to receive that. But what
Let
these shows do are keep me grounded. You know what I mean? Like, this is real. Like, that's
right.
not real. You know what I mean? Like, they can stop paying for my flights. They can stop paying for these hotels and these nice places. That's not real.
Mm-hmm.
This is
that's
real.
True.
So let's do poems. Let's talk. Let's.
Yes.
Let's be
I
normal.
Love you.
Let's be honest,
yes.
right?
Let's do it.
And to anybody, because I get reviews sometimes and people say,
uh-huh.
you know, oh, he think he. No, I don't think I'm anything. But, yeah, I am happy that I got a white man holding a sign when I get off the plane now, off of poetry.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you.
I am happy
about
that.
I don't care what he says. You the man. You know why I say you the man? Not because you're just in demand, but because, I mean, just now having you on the show and just hearing your personality, just hear how you speak the truth, and just watching how you deliver your poetry, you're the man because you do it. For real. You're the man because you're not doing it for accolades. You're the man because you do it for the love. So don't let anybody else say. PD Radio is here to tell you, you're the shit. Okay?
Oh, we can say
shit? Oh, we can say shit.
On
you can say whatever
what?
You want to say. Yes.
Oh, that's the clean word? Oh.
Yes.
Well, I'm not Thank you.
No censor. No censor.
Right,
no
I'm over
here.
You know, trying to clean up these songs. Like, okay, let me say shoot. Let me
oh,
say
wait, you trying to keep it PG?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You can spit the original poem, not the,
ooh,
the clean up
the
version.
And right
Yo,
now
I've
we
had
are
a
going
couple
to
moments.
Open the mic to you.
What is there any poem that you wanted me to do specifically?
No, we want you to do whatever
okay.
you want to do. It's all
this
about
you. This one that I'm working on, and I really like
mm-hmm.
the fact that, you know, all these shows, you got to be so polished. But there's one that I'm currently
mm-hmm.
working on that I would love to share. It's unfinished. I think it's unfinished.
Please.
It may not be unfinished. But
Please.
I would love to share it because I haven't shared it.
Oh, man.
I've only shared it once.
Here we go.
Okay.
Exclusive. Yes.
So this is not a political poem at all. And I'm actually thinking about us as black men when I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inspired by a writing prompt that myself, Javon Johnson, Rudy Francisco, Sean Williams, and Andrew Tyree, we are Fiveology, we're working on a collective poem under this theme of being a black man in America and what that means to us. And I've
okay.
never written from that space. Okay. Being a black
wow.
man in America means being my brother's keeper while keeping the distance from my brother because I don't trust him further than I can see him. It's believing the cops don't give a fuck about you. Being a black man in America is being taught at a young age how not to doubt yourself because everyone else already does. It's the love you have for your mother regardless of her flaws and dealing with your daddy issues so your son doesn't have to. Being a black man in America is a full-time job you will never see a single penny for. There are no time off, no breaks, no benefits. It is a lifelong commitment and an early death sentence. Being a black man in America is a gift. It is a blessing. It is a gift God chose for you to receive because he believes you can handle it. It's being dealt a shitty hand. It's a gamble. It's knowing every time you step outside, the world is a poker table. And whether you like it or not, your chips are all in. It is a grin you put on your face when you feel pain just to let the world know they will not break you. Right after dropping down to your knees, praying to God, asking him to heal you because the pressure is too real. But you popped 30 pills, but that shit still didn't kill you. But what will is stepping outside without your combat boots on or heading to the corner store, leaving your pistol leaving your pistol under the floorboard, your mother doesn't know it's loose. It's knowing you need to detach yourself from your brother's dangerous lifestyle, but your loyalty won't let you because you know if he hadn't been around when that shit went down, you may not be here right now. Being a black man in America is literally to possess everything that lacks in America. Why do you think they work so hard for us not to succeed? We are hypochondriacs of the soul who bleed when we speak. Being a black man in America means you can die over a pack of Skittles, have your murder acquitted, then deemed as a celebrity to fight in a boxing match against the damaged black man with drug issues he used to rap. And your own people who look just like you will pay to see it on pay-per-view, even though it won't bring your life back. If you're black boy, turn your music down, keep it loud if you want, but that may be the last gas you ever pump. Being a black man in America means being a black man in America, and unless you are a black man in America, you will never understand what it's like to be a black man in America. But don't pity us, envy us. We are whole pieces of broken, some too shattered to care, and some just trying to put it all back together. That's it.
Wow. Oh, man, give it up for Princess Power.
Wow.
See, that's what I'm talking about. This is why the stars shine so bright on you, because you speak on it. No matter what it is, you speak on it and let it be known. And that piece right there, yeah, that's brand new, because you touched on some very, very sensitive subjects that's happening right now. Prentice,
yeah.
You are amazing. Yes,
you
did that. Yeah, I'm glad you chose to share that with us here on the air. Thank you so very much.
I'm like,
I don't know. Yeah, I said earlier, I said I'm not starstruck.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm not starstruck. The only person I'm starstruck about is Stevie Wonder, but I don't know. Prentice is kind of doing it for me, y'all. He's kind of doing it for me, y'all, because I have such a high level of respect for him. You're kind of doing it for me, Princess, right now. I mean, okay. I'm gonna stop. Black, go ahead. I know you have a question for Princess, so go ahead and do your thing.
I got a quick question because I just want to speak on the system real quick.
Okay.
Oh, man.
People would know I watch a ton of movies from They Live to all kinds of stuff, right? You know, I'm a huge Matrix fan. I dig into the theory behind it and all that craziness. And after watching you perform that on Arsenio Hall show, I was like,
man.
AKA the Black Matrix, right? And what I wanted to dive into is everything about when you stepped on the stage, from how you were dressed to how you had your hat to every gesture, had a meaning to it. And I don't know if people really understand what went into that performance because, to me, it's one of the greatest poems I've ever heard.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm just gonna put it out there.
It
I had to watch it over and over because it kind of freaks you out. It was almost like all the TVs were just going to go blank and then pop back on, and I was going to see you giving this message to the entire world. It was that powerful. So speak on what went into your preparation for that and anything that, you know, you thought of to put that piece together, I would love to hear.
Okay. Well, thank you for that compliment. Yeah. That's huge. The system I wrote just as a poem, so the words were already there. I just was, while I still was living downtown in Oakland, I was walking past City Hall, and I was thinking to myself, if the system could speak, what would it say?
Right.
And so I wrote the poem. I'm a huge, huge dance fanatic. So when I was young, me and my three best friends, we learned at like 15 that if you could dance, girls liked you, and you didn't need
exactly.
So I was a corny dude who I didn't have in like a piece of game. So if I walk up to a girl, it's gonna be a wrap unless I'm doing some dance moves. So
that's
I've grown up. You know, I spent half of my time traveling on YouTube watching videos. At a cast of mine in East Oakland for the past, like, 2.5 years. And I'm not there anymore, but right next door, there's a space called Youth Uprising, and there's two brothers who go by Yak Films. And Yak Films, if anybody was a dance fanatic or a fan of just good videography, check them out. They do dance videos. They travel the world recording the dopest dance, the dopest dancers in different genres of dance, hip-hop, fusion, everything, popping, b-boying. And they create stories through their dancing, and it's amazing. And I was like, yo, I want to be the first poet they work with. So I thought to myself, how can I do that? And I have a homeboy by the name of L, who he's one of the, like, Showtime dunkers, does the acrobatic dunks for the Warriors, and he knows them personally.
Okay.
So I was like, yo, can you ask them, can you ask them if they'd be willing to work with me? I'm broke, don't have no money, but, yo, if they'd be willing. He came back, he was like, no. You know, these guys do big budgets, they're really busy. It's not, no. And I was like, cool, but I was like, no, that's not cool. I was like, you going to work with me. So, honestly, to tell you the truth, after that, I thought, like, yo, I should implement, I want to do something different with it. So, I just kind of started moving and doing stuff. And then at Nationals in 2012, I was on stage doing that poem, and we were already out of, it was semis, and we knew we weren't going to make it to finals. And so I got on to do that poem, and I just was like, fuck it. And so I got up there, and I found myself just kind of moving, you know. So after I did that, I went home, and I just got on, you know, YouTube and just started practicing my pops and ticks, and which I already was doing, you know, just for fun in my bathroom when nobody's looking, you know. And I still practice. It's still not where I want it to be, but the theory behind it was I just want to have something that nobody's ever seen. I want to push the envelope. I don't want to just get up and say something, and I had a vision for it, and thank you to, you know, my whole Walton Isaac family. They're the producers of Verses and Flow. They allowed me to kind of implement what my vision was for that poem. So the whole lighting thing they did on Verses and Flow was my idea. I was just like, yo, I need my hat low. I want to do it so nobody can see me. It's kind of like a silhouette type of look. And I think because of our relationship, they allowed me to do it. So. And right before I got on Verses and Flow, I know you're mentioning Arsenio, but I have to give credit to Verses and Flow before Arsenio, because that's the first place I did it and the first people who allowed me to do it, and that's how I got to do it on Arsenio, was because they saw it on Verses and Flow. I was in the bathroom. If you guys look at season three, Omari, he was he had a violinist and he had a dancer up there. And both of them are really, really dope dudes, but the dancer, his name is Glitch, he kind of gave me a couple of tips. And right before I went on stage, I was in the bathroom for like 45 minutes practicing just the little tweaks. He told me, like, lean forward and a little to your left and twist your wrist a little, and it gives it a whole different look. So
people
don't understand that I live 30 minutes walking from my job. I work in education, and I teach autistic children with severe behavioral disorders. And so it's really, really crazy in there. So when I'm in class, it allows me sometimes to be just as unstable as they are sometimes. So I'm literally at work in class sometimes just acting like a robot, you know, while they, you know, hit and punch and scream and do stuff like that. It's kind of weird. So I practice all the time. I'm obsessed with practicing.
Okay.
So to answer your question, I just really I just watched a lot of videos and just kind of thought about every movement that I do while I speak. Try not to oversaturate it so you're not distracted by all the movements, but that it's relevant. And push the envelope. I wanted to have something that people were like, yo, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, you definitely did that.
I mean,
you did that.
Like I said, you know, especially coming from a male's point of view, when I look at it and all of, you know, just everything that you see go on in this world and it's something spooky about it. To tell you the truth, I'm just going to be honest with you. The way you performed it, it is a little spooky to see it in that light. And I just want you to know that it's powerful. Like the way you did it, even though you may not have thought it was going to take on that type of life of its own, it really has. You know, so yeah, it's just a great piece, man.
You know what kind of inspired that too? You guys ever seen the Jabberwocky?
The dance crew.
So the thing I thought was dope with them when I first got introduced to them, because like I said, I'm a huge dance fanatic, is that I think it's such a selfless thing to be that dope as they are and to wear mm-hmm. masks. So you got eight
yes.
dope dancers, and nobody knows who this one is specifically.
Right.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? So you're not yes. panicked. You're not getting shine off being like, yo, like the choreographer is a brother, which is dope. His name is Kevin Brewer. But nobody knows that's that cat right there unless you watch them enough to learn their dance styles. Mm. And so I thought to myself with the system, not having eye contact forces you not to focus on me, but forces you to focus on what I'm saying. The movement mm-hmm. is a game. It's you know, a lot of clowns out here. So unless you shucking and jiving or, you know, popping, you know, champagne and pouring money on women in the club, they're not trying
right.
to see what you're doing. But if you do something different to get people to look, then maybe they'll listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There
you
it
know?
Is.
So
there it is.
It's just kind of a double-edged sword. Like, if I just did that poem, just the words, people wouldn't be tripping off of it
mm-hmm.
like they do. You know, when you put movement and somebody's like, oh, that, you know, it's just like when people say, yo, the beat is tight, so let me try to listen to the words one day. You
right.
know what I mean? So if you like something that you see, you may look even more into it and consider what I'm saying.
That's why I believe
it's
all about the delivery, and you delivered it, most definitely.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Princess,
thank
we're
you.
Down to the last few minutes of the show, and you know we are so in awe of you because I'm telling you, we have never had a guest be on the show this long, seriously. So we are, like,
really?
Soaking up everything, really, you're the first. Let him know, Black.
Far,
let him know, Black. You, no,
nice.
You're not.
He's right.
You are enjoying this.
Yeah.
Like, we want more time just to keep you on the line. Like, we're loving
we,
it. Like, your energy.
We have great interviews,
everything.
But, yeah, I mean,
we have
this
great
is,
interviews,
you know.
But you're the first that have gone on for pretty much an hour. So this
wow.
is a salute
thank
to you and what you're bringing to the table because it's not what we normally do. So we're in awe of you right now. But
yes.
So we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I would like to open the floor to you again if you would like to do one more piece for us, you know, tonight on the show, because our listeners, I want to give a quick shout-out to two of our listeners, author LaDonna Marie and author Untamed. They are tweeting. They said they can listen to you all night, Princess. They are loving your interview
oh,
right
thank
now.
You.
So, yes, yes, you are touching many people right now. So, you know, if you're open, we'd like to, you know, let you take us out with another piece tonight, if you're willing.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely willing. I'm just trying to think. Okay. So I know we've all, it just popped in my head. I kind of touched on it earlier when I said that, you know, I've met some of my favorite artists and they were jerks, or we talk about how we lose the humility once we get a glimpse of success. And the first thing I just want to say to people, in my personal opinion, is the only reason why I think people get full of themselves is because they've set their standards too low. I feel like if I was full of myself right now because I'm on TV a lot and traveling and all the blessings that are coming, it would only be because I feel that I've made it. And as long until my family is traveling with me in a Will Smith trailer or until I am on a G5 flying to shows doing poetry, I have not made it. Until my college tuition, all three of my kids are paid for, and I'm really doing it, and I'm doing poems in mink flip-flops, then I haven't made it. I'm exaggerating, but you know, so don't set your standards so low. Always know there's farther you can get. All right. So this is inspired by what it's inspired by. Can somebody tell me when a lot of these poets decided to become modern day superheroes? Kind of like cartoon characters. Spots by day and the Decepticons on the mic. And how many of us really believe in the things that we write rather than write what we think people will believe? And when will we realize that this is a movement and be satisfied with just being ourselves and go back to getting creative and stop fucking repeating ourselves? For instance, dear bitter black woman poets, I realize after the last 14 poems you did that you've been hurt. And you can scream that until your face turns purple and blue. And yes, I understand you don't need a man. So now my question to you is, what are you doing to heal yourself? And yes, it's cool to talk about loving a black woman or loving a black man, but, oh, it's not okay to admit that you had a one-night stand and gotten down with somebody for just one night, because that wouldn't look good for your image in this poetry game, right? I mean, just think what people would do if they knew us poets were actually human. Think what these pro-black revolutionary poets would do if they knew I like my bacon extra crispy and will fuck up a pork chop. I might get my red, black, and green wristband revoked or banned from talking about the revolution, because all black poets talk about the revolution. It seems like if you're not a black poet who talks about the revolution, you're a black poet who talks about black poets who talk about the revolution. And if their definition of the revolution isn't yours, then theirs is wrong, which somehow automatically makes yours right. And since everything you write is so real, even though you don't practice any of that shit off the mic, you feel it gives you the right to tell everybody else that what they write is wrong. Well, who the fuck are you? And fuck being humble. I've been that business thing. I'm just tired of some of these poets getting on these radio shows talking about how we as a people seem to have forgotten where we come from, and those be some of the same poets that seem to have forgotten why they started doing this spoken word in the first place. It seems like we've gone from genuine poets to slam poets and write poems with the strict intention of winning first place, and fuck being the 2006 Oakland San Francisco Grand Slam champion, 2007, 2008 runner-up, 2010 killing shit, East Bay Express 2011, best poet of the year, 2013 NAACP Image Award, did the tour with Jill Scott. All three seasons of Versus Flow, 5 episodes, only person to be on Arsenio Hall 3 times. That's a record. You can burn my resume and take away my accolades. I know who I am. It just so happens that the first place I did my first piece was at a slam, so why could some of you continue to rearrange your words but basically say the same things and come to these open mics with your big-ass egos bragging about how you have this off-the-hook new piece? I'll continue to sit in the back and soak up the game and eject wisdom through my veins, and my plan is to eventually overdose. And when I do, I hope my body is all overflows with it. So when it's all over, my words are all over. No one can say that Prentice never tried to make a difference to those who never tried to make a difference. And in between those who need a little bit of guidance and those who have the ability to walk the path of righteousness with their eyes closed, I tried to make up that difference. And those of us that really live the things we say can tell the difference between those who mean it and those who have written love poems but done absolutely nothing but fuck in their life. And I'm tired of hearing poets talking about keeping it real. Knowing poetry still hasn't earned you your first honest buck in your life. This game is getting tainted, and some of us are liars. Some of us only do this poetry because our first couple of dreams of things we aspire to be have already expired, so we find ourselves coming down from our little dream world and need something to take us higher, which I guess explains the joint in one pocket and the other a light. And if you ask me, it is a shame that some of us actually need drugs to enhance our creative writing, but for some, that's not enough still. Some of us only do this for the same reason cats sit on a block in the middle of West Oakland sipping that NyQuil just so your dreams can last longer. And can you believe that some people aren't willing to say their piece unless there's at least 30 people, 300 people sitting in these here seats? Some people write a piece just to try to get a piece. Some promote peace, but in the streets they carry a piece. Some are part of uplifting everybody else while their own family falls to pieces, people. This is not a diss. This is a request. Stop selling wolf tickets to a free movement because no one's buying them. And realize it's going to take more than just your word to save the world. So take off the capes, take off the mask, be satisfied with just being you, and stop trying to be fucking superheroes.
That's oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And this is for the night, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness.
Princess Power has set the show down for the night. That is it. It is a wrap. Princess, you are the man. I would love to have you back on the show anytime you want to come on. You just killed it. You took us out with a bang.
Thank you.
I have never known
what
to say.
I appreciate it.
Big love to you.
Yeah, man.
We have 30 seconds left in the show, Princess. Is there anybody you want to give love to right now on the show before we go out?
Anybody who supports me, my collective, obviously, Hey Mama. Anybody. I mean, honestly, anybody who has anything supportive to say, and also to those who don't, thank you. I appreciate everything, and I'm thankful.
We appreciate you. Let's give it up one more time to Princess Powell. You just shut this show down tonight, Princess. You have no idea. We love you.
Thank you.
We thank you so much for coming
on
tonight. And
thank you. And then can I just say, anybody wants to follow me, my Twitter handle is followprentice, which is followprentice. And I'm also on Facebook as well. Check out our Fiveology Poetry Collective. Our website is wearefiveology.com. My Twitter, again, is followprentice. And that's it. Thank you.
PD Radio.
Woo! PD.
Yes.
Now, see,
yes,
that's why that piece, that it's on our wall of fame because it is just that powerful, and it just keeps you the whole 58 minutes. That's a long one. So.
You're engaged the whole time. And how he took it out, oh, man.
Yeah, he took it out right.
I mean, both pieces were amazing, but he killed that last one. Like, he put so many people on blast. Yes, I love him. I'm telling you, I am poetic crushing on Prentice Powell. Dead serious. Now, I say poetic crushing because it's about his talent. It's not him. It's his talent. Like, you know, I'm drawn to words. I've always been drawn to words. And it's like just hearing him and how he puts it all together, it's so amazing to me, and I'm so drawn to it. It's like, wow, he did that. And this is why we had to replay this interview. So much energy, you know. He's so humble.
Exactly.
You know, and I spoke this, I said it, you know, during the interview, you know, Prentice Powell, he's on TV. He's doing speaking appearances. He's everywhere right now, and he could have a big head. You know, I reached out to this man on Twitter, just on a whim. You know, I'm this PD, host of PD Radio. I would love to talk to you on my show. He hit me back like, let's do it. He could have easily ignored me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why I have such a high level of respect for him because, you know, he is still very, very humble, you know, about what he does. So, you know, I enjoy that so much. Oh,
I know I did.
Right?
Yeah, you know me. Like I said, that you know the system, man. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy, and I love you know the Father Paul as well.
Yes.
They both of them are just phenomenal pieces. Mm-hmm. If you don't get anything out of it, something wrong with you. That's how I feel about it. So.
And it's crazy, you know. He is the only poet to have been on Arsenio 3 times, but since he's been on the show, I believe it was that following week since he was on the show,
right.
He made his 4th appearance. His 4th appearance
exactly.
On Arsenio. Like he's the only spoken word artist to do that, and it's telling you
that
he's in high demand, and it's like they're not getting enough. You know, it's one thing to go on there 1 or 2 times, but 3 times, and now 4th time is like you know. That's because it's being demanded. People want more of him. So,
right.
You know, we wish him all the best and everything he's doing.
Shout out to Arsenio Hall, a.k.a. Simi, for for bringing my man on the show. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really trying to endorse this coming back to America. So, hey,
I know.
Be on the lookout for my petition.
Right?
I got big plans for the next coming to America movie. So
I also want to give a big shout out to our guest host the night we had that interview off of Valencia Point Dexter. You know,
that's right.
I'm listening to the playback, and I'm like, I totally took over. I feel so bad.
Yeah, you duped us. You did us dirty. I understand that. It's all good.
I love you, B. I just told you, come on. It's not
right. When you come down, the first drink is on me, V. Miss Petey gets nothing.
Well, wait a minute.
I need
the drink. So how's that gonna go down? Yeah.
You said it. You're gonna make our drinks.
Yeah, I'm gonna make our drinks, and I'm excluding you just for that. Anyway. Another great show, PD Radio. Shout out to Dr. No for calling up and giving his input.
That's right.
Tonight, big, big shout out to poet Freedom Rider for calling up and reciting his poetry piece, Idol. You know, thank you for that nice 5G plug, too. I appreciate that so very much. But we love you guys. Stay tuned for next week. We may have something very interesting for you next week. I don't want to say anything until it's confirmed yet, but, you know, stay locked with us because you never know what's Radio. Big shout out to you, Bless. Big shout out to the PST. You guys know who you are, what you do, and what we represent all about. The network thing.
That's right.
Radio?
Miss PD.
Yes. Aww.
Just for you, Miss PD. And I want to give a big shout-out to everybody who hit me up last week, you know, for my birthday, left me messages on Facebook, Twitter. Thank you, guys. I had a bomb birthday weekend that just passed. And, you know, many more coming. So, you know.
Shut it down. Shut it down. Stop milking your birthday. I want to say real quick.
I'm just giving the people some love.
All y'all
on
out
air,
there,
you know,
will be like putting your birthdays and your names and in your bios and stuff. Knock it off.
Yeah, that's
and
too
all
much.
All y'all
that's
throwing
too much.
Them hints out there, you know, is about like, oh, 28 more days, my birthday. Like, stop it.
Yeah, I hate
three
that.
More
yeah.
days, my, like, stop it. I want my birthday love to be sincere. If you know me, you'll know my birthday and you'll send me love. I don't need love from everybody just because they know and they feel obligated to do it. Y'all got to stop that. That's not cute. Eva, Mona, don't like it. Five more days, my birthday. Stop it.
Yeah, you sound like a little, like a brat or something like that. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
You sound like you're dying for attention. Knock it off. Okay? All right, and that's all I'm going to say about that. PD Radio, I love you all. Tune in with us next week.
Peace.
Bye,
Miss PD.
PD Radio.